welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Seems like the Lord is talking about it is finished, it is done. But alongside it is finished, it is done, and that's kind of what I'm talking about this morning, so that helps, is the fact that that means that what God is going to do amongst us is underscored by that foundation of the past is dealt with. And what's also dealt with is a bunch of individuals doing their own thing, as God has called together to be a body. And in this time, it's important that we're that one body or that one team. But I found a little funny tongue-in-cheek video about teamwork on Tinternet. And I thought the children would probably sort of like it. And so we'll see that. And then as that finishes, J24/7, you can go, okay? So we've got another video.
Hi, I'm Johnny.
And I'm Chachi.
We're Get In Here Ministries. And you know, Chachi and I, we couldn't be more excited about the idea of teamwork.
And today we're going to take the idea of teamwork and paint you a beautiful picture through the medium of music. Take it away, Johnny.
Okay.
Boom.
You know, hearing Johnny sing by himself is rather putrid and boring. It's amazing what happens when you add others to the mix. Check this out.
You know, through modern technology, we're even able to do this. I'll tell you, though, about teamwork. You know, it's less about me and more about we. Let me kick a harmony.
We all know the old saying that there's no I in team, but there's also no selfish hypocrisy in team either. Let me throw a dato in the mix.
Dato, dato, dato.
You know, when people say no man is an island, I used to think, of course no man is a piece of land surrounded by a body of water. Then I realized what they mean. I think I get it.
Somebody once said that none of us is as smart as all of us. And I don't really know what that means, but I know I like it. Now watch me break out something special.
You know, I think we've made some pretty good points about teamwork and the value therein of it.
And if teamwork were a person, I'd love them as all get out.
All right, I think we made some headway on that.
I love it.
Pretty good.
That's awesome. I love it.
You know what I'm saying?
I love it when
you guys are good.
Like
that. Yeah.
You know what I mean by that.
Right.
Okay. If you could all just close your eyes, count to three, and we'll start again. Hi. On Thursday night, we had an awesome God encounter. And which was good, because it was kind of the last one for a while, so you want a bit of a bang, don't you? And it was like God began to speak to me clearly from a passage that was spoken prophetically over me when we were in Redding in California. When we went out there because basically Dr. James said, go and take a look, because what I see being done at Bill Johnson's church in Bethel is what I see God doing here in the beginnings of it. And so we went out there, but one of the words that God gave to us through, I think it was through one of the other delegates, you know, I can't even remember where it came from, and that's probably the best. Because to be honest, I'd forgotten about it. And it was only when Tony was preaching the other week, it re-reminded me yet again, because I wrote in my Bible when it was given to me. And it was a prophecy concerning what God was going to do with the advent of a new building. This person, all I can really remember is that they said about, you're going to have a new building. And this is a scripture God's given me. So they were pretty spot on with that one, weren't they? And it's Jeremiah 33 verses 6 to verse 11 was the actual word they gave me. So if you've got a Bible with you and you want to check it out that I am actually reading the Bible, you can do that. I'm just making it up from the front. But Jeremiah 33, the whole chapter started off, and this little phrase caught me this morning. Because Jeremiah is as we found out from Tony last week, is imprisoned. He's been saying the wrong stuff as far as the king's turn. He's actually been saying what God's given him to say, and the king's not liked it because it's basically God is going to do this because you've been like this. Due to your wickedness, due to the mess this nation is in, this other nation are going to come in and we're going to go into exile. Well, of course, the king didn't really like someone standing up and saying this, and he didn't want to acknowledge that it was God's word, which would have saved them from all going into that mess. They could have just repented and said, God, just come and save us, and he would have done, but no, they didn't want to do that. That involved humiliation and a dealing with pride. So often the case with us, isn't it? That we'd rather suffer judgment than have to acknowledge to God we were wrong. It's true. I've been through it. I don't know about you. You're all looking sanctified and holy because it's Sunday. But, you know, I've certainly argued, no, you're not holy. Don't worry. He's doing his hands here. So it's been a bit of a mess. But then in amongst all this mess and in amongst his sort of the city around him not going in God's direction, this little phrase comes out, while Jeremiah was still confined. All right, he's still in prison. Why? He's still in prison. While he's still restricted, God gives him this word. And it's a word that comes of hope and a word of restoration. This is what you're heading into. And Jeremiah's probably thinking, but I thought we were going to get judgment. I thought we were going to get carted off to some foreign nation, Lord. And God's saying, no, no, there's something better after that. I've got something really good for you. This is for my people when they turn back to me. Amen? And what's happening now is that I believe as a church, we've almost been a bit confined. And the Lord is bringing this word this morning to encourage us to grab hold of something bigger. You know, the whole thing of dare to dream. You know, let's dare to dream. Sometimes when circumstances and things are going on, you can feel a little bit squashed and you start to accept what people around you say, what people believe, what you read in the newspaper. That seems to get on you a little bit. But this morning we need to throw that off. All right, we're not going to be confined. We're not going to be restricted. We're not going to accept a lower standard than what God has put in the Word of God. Amen? We're going to believe the Word of God, take hold of the Word of God, and make sure we see it in our lives. Amen? So, we're not going to be confined. Yeah, you can be, it would be good if you're sort of shouting and joining in a little bit today. You'll get a better message. It's really true, you know, because you get an atmosphere of faith, you get a spiritual joining together of faith and belief, and everybody starts to lift up and say, yeah, that's what God's saying. Doesn't matter what I see with my eyes. I don't walk with my eyes saying what I believe. I walk with faith. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Amen? Faith. What's faith? It's believing that God's word that's been a lot round a lot longer than my eyes is more reliable than what I just happen to have seen in my past 20, 40, 50, 90 years, however long I've been going. All right, I said 90 just to make sure I included Chris on the front row. He's looking good though, isn't he? Not a grey hair there. He's going to really regret sitting there. That's twice now. Never again. Hallelujah. While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him. I believe we got a word from the Lord this morning that's come to encourage us to break out of that confinement. Amen. Now, it might be that you look around our town and think, well, that's not of God, and that's not of God, and how could you look around in Yorkshire and think that's not of God? Or you even look at what goes on in the church sometimes, because there's people in this, everybody know that not everybody's 100% perfect. Well, except that you've been made 100% perfect, but you don't quite walk it out all the time. You know? And you can get depressed because somebody else upsets you or says something unkind or unfair. It happens. As Tony would say, get over it. Yes. Hallelujah. You know, it's. I think it was Tony that preached about being hurt. There's a lot of Christians out there who are hurt. You know, but when someone gets hurt on the sports field, immediately afterwards, they are recovering. They don't go around saying, I'm hurt. I might never recover. I've been hurt. No, they were hurt and then they're recovering. If you got hurt, now's the time to recover. How do you recover? You forgive them. You say, well, they don't deserve forgiveness. No, neither did you. Neither did you. We cannot hold unforgiveness at all, whatsoever. We don't deserve forgiveness, so we can't hold it. You say, but I feel these intense feelings inside of me. Well, begin to say you forgive so that those feelings begin to come into line. You're not ruled by your feelings, are you? You're ruled by the Word of God, aren't you? Are you ruled by the Word of God? Are you an overcomer? Or are you going to be confined? No, come on. Yes, yes, no. Just make sure you get the right one at the right time or you could be in for it. You know, an accidental no in the wrong place and that's spiritual bondage for the next 92 years. Hallelujah. Oh dear, some people are funny, aren't they? Anyway, this is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. He's someone important. When he speaks, it overrules everything. He is the creator. He can do what he likes. Most of the time he follows kind of the laws and rules that he established. But when he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. Hallelujah. He can do what he likes. He's God. And if he does it, it's holy and it's righteous. Hallelujah. But he will always abide by what he's laid down in his word. He will always follow this. He won't go outside of what he has already revealed to us. He will just give us greater revelation of what's already hidden in it. Amen. Call to me and I will answer you. I think that's important when you're confined. You know, when you need to break out, when you need to see more happening. You say, well, it's good around here. We're seeing a lot happening. Yeah, but nowhere near enough. You know, if we were seeing it happening, everybody would have to get here at 9:30 in the morning just to make sure they got a seat in here. All right, because there'll be others outside having to listen on the speaker. You know, that's when you know something's happening. So what's happening is good, but we want better. You know, that's what God has given us. All right, now if we don't see that next week, that's okay, but we're still going to carry on believing. But if we don't see it next month, what are you going to do? Okay, what are you going to do if it's not next year? What if he does an Abraham on you and makes you wait 25 years for the fulfillment of the promise? Are you still just going to carry on believing and trusting the Lord? Because that's what this nation needs. It needs a people who trust in God and trust in God and trust in God and trust in God and trust in God. They don't believe what they see with their eyes. They don't let their own sort of expectations give them such tremendous disappointment that they feel sort of sick and worried and wander off into their own thing. You know, if you don't see what you believed you were going to see, then you were probably wrong. Or maybe you've just got to be more patient. I want to see this place filled to overflowing next week. All right? I just go for next week. If it's not next week, we'll go for the week after. But what I do know is that God has given us a promise of a new building and of a prosperity and a fruitfulness and a happening as we get that place, because it's giving us a home in this town. But that doesn't mean we sit back at this present time and think, well, that's all going to happen in the future. No, this is the time when we're preparing for what God's going to do. Because buildings aren't really that important. What's important is people. What's important is the body. What's important is the team. A team who are together. A team who are sharing lives together so that they're a team that can influence the community around them. All right? That's a team who are not confined. That's a team who are free. That's a team that can dance in the aisles because they don't care what others think. They haven't got a sense of, oh, what might so-and-so think of me? They don't care. All they care about is, what does God think of me? What does God think about what I'm doing today? Hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? Hallelujah. This is a no-notes preach. Hallelujah. Who knows where it's going? If you were at God Encounter, you got warned you were going to get this. Here it is. Hallelujah. I mean, I don't know where I'm going. Only the Holy Spirit knows where I'm going. Hallelujah. Because all I got is the Word of God and the two things he gave me on God Encounter. Did he give me anything else this morning? No. So here we go. Anything could happen. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you don't know. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says about the houses of the city and the royal palaces. And he reminds them that it's going to be a big fight. They're going to be filled with dead bodies. It's going to be messy. It's going to be horrible. It's going to be horrendous what is actually coming. You said, I thought you were going to preach an encouraging word this morning. That had to happen because it was the only way that God's people could come back to him. If there was any other way, he would have done it. If there was any other way to avoid God himself coming and being crucified, he would have done it. All right, God doesn't like that sort of thing. He hates violence. He hates all that sort of stuff. But he does allow those things to happen because our hearts are twisted. Our hearts are not running after him. All right, and this is why Jeremiah was confined, because of the wickedness that was around him. But God was saying, I'm coming to do something different, Jeremiah. And when you are restored to this land, it's going to be different. You're going to see me moving. And I believe we're in a time of restoration. All right, a time of favor. There's so many great things that God has spoken over you. It's almost like you have to keep picking them up and sort of, oh, here's it. Yeah, oh, and that one. Oh, and then, you know, it's like that all the time with all these good things coming our way. You know, and this is for the church in Scarborough, not just for us, but we're crucial in that. We need to be part of that, believing for that. You know, so we see all the brethren in our town. Hallelujah. One church in Scarborough. One church in Scarborough Borough. Hallelujah. United and together. I don't think we'll ever agree on all our theology, but we're united still in Jesus. The wall of division, it says, has been broken down between Jew and Gentile. So it's certainly been broken down between Baptist, Catholic, and Anglican, and Kingdom Faith, Ian. Hasn't it? Yeah, so we live knowing that the wall's been torn down. Some people try to build it up again, you know. Some people take offense, some people build a wall, but thanks, Lorraine. Hallelujah. Right, let's get to our scripture. So you've got all this messy stuff, and then in verse 6, which is where we were going to start, God says, nevertheless. All right, this is key, this is important. Because he's saying, despite the judgment, despite the people suffering, despite what you will see and have seen, despite all that, nevertheless, I will bring. This is good. This is the promise. I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. What a promise. What a promise. You say, well, that was given to Jeremiah about the people of Jerusalem. Absolutely it was. But whose promises do we inherit? Absolutely. We take hold of the promises in every generation. We apply them over Israel now. We can speak this, hear health and healing and peace and security over a country that sorely needs it. Because God has not forgotten his first covenant. But we live in a new covenant and we take hold of the promises now. In Scarborough. Yes. You know? Oh, this is about Scarborough. Yes. Nevertheless, and this is about as we establish our building. But don't think, oh, we've got to wait till then. We're taking hold of what we've got now so that when we go into the new building, you know, we want to zap this town and this region when we get into that new building. Yes. You know, we'll go full guns blazing team to make sure that we've got as many people coming to see that new place as possible. It's a window of opportunity, isn't it? To invite, come and see our new building. We're going to have an opening service. You know, we won't have it right at the beginning. We'll have it a little way in, so we've got stuff sorted, you know, and then we'll probably have another opening when we've done a new bit, you know, but we'll keep using it to make sure that it's a tool to see people come to know the Lord. That's the important thing. I want a church for people who don't go to church. You know, we don't want to be dragging people from one church to another. You know, there's too much of that going on anyway. People need to be where God's called them to be. Now, that sometimes means that you might have to leave and go to St. Mary's because God's called you on. That's fine. We'll agree with it in the leadership, and it can happen amongst others. You know, that people can come here. But that's not the way churches are supposed to grow, because the church isn't growing. All right? The church overall isn't growing. It's just transferring from one to another. Sometimes that's right, because people can go to a place to get the growth, the feeding they need, and a shepherd that they feel they can follow, and all that kind of stuff. But what we're mostly aiming at, 99% of the time, is being a church for the unchurched. Because that's the majority of the people in this town. Amen. We need to see them added into the church. Amen. So that be that time, we need to make our building known. We'll come up with some creative ways of doing it. You know, we need to perhaps deliver leaflets to the entire town. Put advertising boards up, advertising the new event, advertising the new coffee shop. Yeah? Hallelujah. Praise God. We've been talking to a few people that are not saved about the coffee shop and the fact that we want to be open in the evenings. And you'd be surprised, from younger people to older people, how many people said, oh, that'd be great. I want somewhere to go in the evening where they said, if we don't want to go to somewhere with alcohol, this was the younger ones, this was the people in their 20s, we have to go to McDonald's or Pizza Hut. Yet they want somewhere that's nice, that's not Pizza Hut or not alcohol. Hallelujah. Well, if the church is going to provide that, we'll provide that. It's about, you know, we're, as a church, we want to be able to meet the needs in our town, the perceived needs in our town, so that we can come to know the real need. You know, and that's behind a lot of what we're doing. We'll come back to that in a minute, though. Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. I will bring Judah and Israel back from captivity. Come on, we've got to believe this stuff. There's an awful lot, even if you're just thinking of the unchurched, there's a lot of people that used to go to church that are unchurched. They got disillusioned or hurt or damaged or something, and we need to see them back with God. In full guns, in a place where they feel loved, a place where they feel welcomed, a place where they can belong to. Who's going to do that? The team. It's got to be us. Us together. There's only a team can make somewhere a place that's nice. I'm not supposed to use the word nice, am I? I don't remember that preach, but you know what I mean. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, I will bring health. I like this because this is quite interesting. Look, it says, I will bring health and healing. I will heal. Yes. Do you think God's trying to get a message in here? It's the message that we were singing about earlier. It is finished. It is done. Your healing has been achieved by Jesus on the cross. It's the same thing. He uses health, healing, heal. They're all different words in the Hebrew, actually. The first one is something like arotab, which is probably a very bad way to pronounce it, but that'll do. It's probably like my French pronunciation. Not too good, really. But the first word means healing, surprisingly. But it means restoration. It means recovery. It means repair. God's church is to be a place of people being restored, you know, of being repaired, of being put back together the right way. You know, when you go into the tabernacle, you were faced with where they slaughtered the animals. How do you put someone back together in the Christian church? In the same way that they were put back, that they dealt with sin in the Old Testament, you kill the animal on the altar. The best way to be put back together is to be resurrected. And God wants all people to die so he can resurrect them. We're talking spiritually, of course. Yeah? I am a new creation, says Paul. I am a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. Hallelujah. We've got to live these new creations. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. These are cool scriptures to sort of have that you can remember. I'm new. I'm renewed. I was slaughtered on that altar. And now I've risen into a new life. That's why it's finished. That's why it's done. Anything of the old stuff that's around, it needs kicking into touch. It's got no place in my life. And this, I think, is why we're not going to be confined anymore. We're going to take up this banner of healing and restoration. You know, and we're going to wave this banner of healing and restoration until we see it fully established in the people and in our town and in our region and in our country. And we won't rest until we see it, because this is what God's plan is. And I want to be in line with God when he says, I will bring health and healing, I will heal. The first one, Aratab, healing, restoration, recovery, repair. The second one, where he says, I will bring health and healing. The second one is something like Marp or Marpe. Who knows? All right? Can you read Hebrew letters? No, that's my best. And that one means a healing. That means a cure. We're talking about sicknesses and diseases now. All right? Restoration could include that, can't it? But it's nice to know when he says, I will bring health or I will bring healing, the Lord is talking about the whole person. The word salvation means the whole person. It means to be complete. The word save in the Greek is sozo. It doesn't just mean, you know, saved so that you can go to heaven. It means completely taken out of what you were and made complete in a new place, made perfect in him. Amen? And we need to take hold of this making perfect stuff. You know, I know we all blow it, and I know we all get it wrong sometimes, but that doesn't stop us from going for the best. And I think we need to go for the best. I think we're going to break out of confinement and say, I'm going for the best. I'm not accepting anything else. We're running with Lamplugh House being a house of restoration. People are going to come from all over the world to that place to be restored. All right, restored. Whatever's going on in their lives, restored. So we better have that here in the church as well, hadn't we? Hallelujah, what a funny lot we are. A healing, a cure. It means to bring healing. I liked one meaning of it. It means composure. Which I had to look up in a dictionary. I thought, well, what does composure, or to be composed, really mean? You know, I've used the word. And I looked it up, and it says it comes from the 16th century English, the word to compose. Because it means to place neatly in order. When you compose music, you take all these random noises and you make something beautiful. A bit like our worship team. Hallelujah. And that's what compose means. So God wants to take all the random bits in your life, all the bits you sort of think, how does that fit in, and make a beautiful piece of music. That's why everything you've been through, nothing's ever wasted. Good or bad, God will write an amazing score with that. That we're all listened to in perfection, perhaps in heaven. Let's listen to the Joanne Lloyd Symphony tonight. That's a gorgeous symphony, you know? And there'll be fast bits and slow bits and crescendos and you know, wonderful. And the conductor will be Jesus himself. And we'll just listen to it in amazement. We can probably listen to it now. If we listen with the ears of the Lord at people's lives. Sometimes we say we've got to look with God's eyes. You know, he looked upon David. And everybody else thought, scrawny little lad, he can't be king. But God saw the heart. Sometimes we've got to listen to the heart and hear what God hears. You know? Because everybody in this room is actually, by God, being played as a beautiful symphony. You are composed. You are healed. You are restored. And every note is a good one. Everything comes together into a perfect harmony. But the amazing thing about God is that he does something that no earthly composer could probably ever do. Because he then takes all these symphonies and he puts them into one glorious heavenly symphony and it all works. You know, it's a bit like when everybody's singing in tongues and you think, how can that lot of people that can't really hold a tune sound so wonderful? It's because God comes and causes us to sing something heavenly. Just sing perhaps a snippet of the symphony that he's writing with us, of the orchestral wonder that he's working out through our lives. Yeah? Hallelujah. I'm liking this. I don't know about you lot. What else does it mean, this word? This second word, the healing. It means composure, yes. It means that nothing is incurable. I like that one. It was kind of a... I saw it in the thing and thought, how does that... Oh, I see. Nothing is incurable. You cannot have an incurable disease. You can have a hospital or doctor incurable disease, but from God's point of view, nothing is incurable. You know, we've got to see these incurable diseases healed. You know? As I said to you, some of you weren't there, but on Thursday night, I was telling people how, again, on Wednesday morning, as church leaders in the town, you have a spiritual responsibility. You're like the elders of the town, standing at the gate in the spirit. And I've been encouraging the others, and they're sort of agreeing with me, and we're standing together just on one area for the moment, and that is, we're not going to allow cancer in this town. Amen. Why not? We don't want it in our town. It's a wall around it in the spirit, so let's keep it out. Christian and non-Christian, we don't want it in this town. It's not going to happen. But there's others, you know, there are other incurables, Alzheimer's, and, well, we could come up with a long list, couldn't we? But they're not incurable. Because God says, I will bring healing. It also means a remedy or a soothing. Isn't that nice? That God doesn't just want to heal the big stuff, but he wants to soothe you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to encourage you. God is a great encourager in the small things and the big things. You know? Hallelujah. I stand here and preach this, and then you know that Kate's been ill. This is her second bout with cancer. Does that mean I don't preach it anymore? No. I want to see it established in her life. Amen. You can get bad news about what's going on. You can get good news what's going on. I still go back to God's word and say, God says, I will bring health and healing. I will heal my people. Amen. The third one is Rapha. You've probably heard a lot you might have heard of Rapha, because you can talk about Jehovah Rapha or Jehovah Rapha, depending on how you pronounce it, and the God who heals. And that's the third one that he uses there. And it means to heal. It also, interestingly, means to become fresh. It's a bit like a heavenly wet wipe. You know, when your little kid's got all messy and ice cream around their head and in their hair and down, and a mum comes along. And in my day, mum used to spit into a hanky and wipe you clean. But we live in a much healthier society now, so mum these days usually has a packet of wet wipes. And so she smears you with alcoholic wet wipe instead. And then you sort of wave around the little kid in the fumes for a bit. But they're nice and clean. Hallelujah. So it's a bit like God is also a heavenly wet wipe. He's probably, you know, a little bit miffed with me saying that. No, I don't. He is. He comes to clear us up. He's not worried about changing nappies. He'll do that. He just wants us to get out the nappies and get walking and get potty trained and then move on to independent means. You know? There's a lot of Christians need to get out of potty training. Hallelujah. Have I told you the story of my nephew? I think I told it at the leaders' conference. When we were down at the leader and his potty, my nephew Finley, I was staying with my brother, and he was telling me about my nephew. And he's at that age where his mum would really rather like him not to be using, would like him to be using a potty. Okay, he's not coming off potty, he's trying to get on to potty, out of nappies. But Finley is not having anything about this. He doesn't want a potty, he wants nappies. Nappies are cool. Nappies means he can go at his convenience. Nappies means he doesn't have to wait for the potty to arrive. Nappies means he can do what he likes and somebody clears him up. And sometimes Christians live like this. They just live a nice mess and wait for God or somebody on God's behalf to come around and clear them up. You know, anyway, they were trying to persuade him, and Julie got the... I'd got the potty ready for him. And Mike's story was quite funny because he said he ran across the room, sort of like this, because that's what you do when you're that sort of way. And he flung himself onto the bed and flung his legs up in the air. Like that. And he was crying, "No potty, no potty, no potty. I want a nappy. Change. Change. No potty, no potty." And there's a lot of Christians out there, and they're running around going, "No potty, no potty. I don't want to grow up. I don't want to be an adult. I don't want to get over it. I'm hurt. I need someone to change my nappy." Well, there's a time to be there, and there's a time to grow up. Hallelujah. No doubt I shall find out this summer of whether he has adapted. I think they gave up, actually. They decided they'd come back and try again later. No, that's the older one. I can assure you he's fine in all of that. To become fresh, to be completely healed. It talks about God being your physician, that word. It means God is your doctor, your healer. And it means to be purified. So all this is encompassed in this. "Nevertheless, I will bring healing, restoration, recovery and repair, and a cure and composure and a remedy and soothing. I will heal my people. I will wipe them completely clean. They will be completely healed. They will be calm and in control. And I will let them enjoy abundant peace and security." The peace is shalom. That complete peace, that complete satisfaction in the mind, that complete spirit of self-control or self-discipline. I will give them shalom. I will give them peace and security. So if things come in that are not peace, you go back to the word and say, "No, God has given me peace." And you might be a bit like that to start with, won't you? "God has given me peace. I've got the peace. I've got the peace of the Lord. I've got the peace. I've got the peace. I've got the peace. I've got the peace." And then, as you allow God to refresh the peace, you might go, "I have the peace. Thank you, Jesus." Hallelujah. Peace and security. Interestingly enough, in most translations, if you haven't got an NIV, it probably doesn't say security. A lot of the translations say truth, because that's really what the word encompasses. The real word there is truth. I will give you peace and truth. But in having the truth, you see, you have security. It's a word that doesn't just mean truth. It means a firmness or a faithfulness. I will give you security in my truth. And that's where we've got to place our security, in God's truth. Amen? Let's have a look at that scripture once more, just as we have read it. It's just one verse I've been talking about, really, all this time. Hallelujah. But it's a good one. And it's for us as individuals, and it's us as a team. It's really only the team that can live this out. The day of individual Christians doing their own thing is over. That's the reason that the charismatic move that's happened since sort of the early 70s has not taken the nation. I mean, it's great that wherever you go these days, most towns, certainly most cities, you can find churches that are on fire. You know, they know the Lord. You didn't find that back in those days. Most churches were very dead, you know, and people in them often even didn't know the Lord. They weren't saved. It was just something that they went to because nobody had told them what it actually meant to be saved. Then the Spirit came. Then people got shocked by people speaking in tongues and, you know, and then all sorts of other things happened. People falling over and people getting healed and people prophesying and all this stuff started to be restored to the church. But still the nation carried on its little merry journey like Jerusalem was in this time, where they didn't want to listen. Nevertheless, says the Lord, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and let them enjoy abundant peace and security. Now that is definitely a verse to have on your fridge door. That is one cool verse. I will bring Judah and Israel, well remember that speaks of us, back from captivity and will rebuild them as they were before. How were they before? I don't know, how far do you want to go back? I've seen lots of things happening before. I see days when Scarborough had huge churches with lots of people in. That's a pretty good start. You know? I see the early church where people were being added in thousands every day. That's pretty cool. Or if I go back to Adam and Eve, I see a couple who at the beginning, before things went a little wrong, have a perfect relationship with the Lord. All seems pretty good. What has gone before? There is an opening of old wells. You know, there is a restoration happening, even now. But we need to be reaching into heaven and pulling it down onto earth. Whatever's in heaven, the Lord wants us to declare here on the earth. We are actually sat in heaven, in heavenly places in the Spirit. So it's not like we're begging heaven to come down. We're in heaven, releasing heaven on the earth. You know? I mean, that was the Eileen revelation that we had at 9 o'clock not long ago. That we're not just here saying, God, 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 where are you? We're up in heaven saying, earth, 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 be released. Let the good stuff be released. We're not at the bottom of Jacob's ladder. We're at the top of Jacob's ladder with the Lord, releasing the angels onto the earth. Hallelujah. Oh, I haven't got very far. I will cleanse them from all the sin. This could be another Nehemiah. I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me and forgive them all the sins of their rebellion against me. I think for me this speaks of our region. You know? How can God do this? He does it in Jesus. If he's saying I'm going to forgive them, how does he forgive them when they turn to him? It's the only way he can. There has to be a price paid. The penalty has to have been paid. People have to take on board Jesus as their Lord and Savior so that they can be forgiven. Otherwise, it will be a denial of everything God stands for. I will forgive all the sin they have committed against me. I want to live in a forgiven town. Forgive all their sins of rebellion against me. And then I like this next line, don't you? I take hold of this for Scarborough and Brid and York and Whitby and all these places around here. But starting here, because God gave us this as a stronghold, as a place to branch out from. Then this city, how about then Scarborough? Because you take God's promises and you say, well, this is God's promise for me, so then it applies to where I live. Then Scarborough will bring me renown. I like that. You know, it's been winning some awards all over the place, you know. Great place to be on holiday, according to which, the most enterprising town in Europe, and all sorts of other things Scarborough has won. But how about being renowned because of what God has done here? Yes. I like the sound of that. Yes. Hallelujah. I like the sound of the world traveling to Scarborough. You know, that's very God. He likes to use these small places in the middle of nowhere to do amazing things. We're not in the middle of nowhere, we're in the middle. We are at the center. Anyway, this city will bring me renown, joy, praise, and honor before all nations on earth that hear the good things I do for it. Then they will be in awe and will tremble at the abundant prosperity and peace I provide for it. You know, sometimes people say, well, I don't really know how to pray for a town. How do you pray for a town? What do you pray? God bless Scarborough. God bless the people of Scarborough. Well, here's a pretty good start. Father, thank you that Scarborough will bring you renown. Father, we thank you that Scarborough will be a place of joy and praise and honor. Father, we thank you that Scarborough will be known by all nations for what you are doing here. Thank you, Father, that people will come to Scarborough to see what God is doing and come to encounter Jesus. Father, I thank you that they will hear of all the good things that you are doing for it. Father, I thank you that they will be in awe of what you are doing here. And I thank you for the abundant prosperity and peace that you are spreading out upon this town, Father. Release your abundant peace and your prosperity. You see, in this chapter, judgment is coming to Jerusalem, but it's not what God wants. God wants the people of that town actually to come back to him. They've gone beyond the point of calling. He knows that they're not going to do it, so judgment comes. We're in the period where Scarborough can respond. Or it will be judged at some point. I don't know when. That's not my job. It's just up to God. I'm not going to go around preaching judgment. I'm here to preach Jesus' message, which is one of the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Come. There's healing and health and restoration. There's completeness and wholeness and composure. Hallelujah. He wants to bring this to our town. And he's saying that your new building, Kingdom Faith Yorkshire, is mixed up in all of this because I'm going to use it as a tool if you're willing. I really do think that if you are willing is there, because there's going to need to be a lot of willing people, you know, making a whole place work. If we're going to do things for our town, there's got to be a people who are willing to work, are people who want to get on board, who want to help run the coffee shop, who want to run the parent and toddlers, who want to do the Friday night club, who want to run stuff on a Saturday night, who want to clean the place. So it's a long list of people that need to be part of a team. All right, I can't remember what it was now. There was a long description that isn't in team, but I've forgotten it. That Johnny or Charchi, I don't know which is which, gave. Anyway, never mind. Moving on swiftly from strange videos. This is the place, this is what the Lord says. You say about this place, it is a desolate waste without men or animals. I think if you look at our building, it's empty. There's nothing going on there, and there haven't been for a while. But it is a desolate waste. Yet in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are deserted, inhabited by neither men nor animals, there will be once more the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of the bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good, his love endures forever. For I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. Hallelujah. So it's peace, it's healing, it's restoration, it's even prosperity. Not a prosperity gospel, but the prosperity of the Lord that enables a church to do the work that it's been called to do. Amen. The prosperity gospel means you're praying for Ferraris and swimming pools and God just to bless me. The time of bless me, bless me, bless me is over. That was the charismatic move. We're moving into the full restoration of the church, which are people that realize we are not here for ourselves. We are not here for ourselves. Yes. Are you prepared to say that? Are you prepared to live that? Because it's so much ingrained in us still that think of others more highly than you think of yourself. Which one of us really does that? I'll tell you how you test how you feel about yourself. For some people, not for everybody. You know, give them a photo, group photograph, and who's the first person they look for? Oh, there I am. Oh, don't I look awful? Oh, I don't like myself in photos. Always me, 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 me. Me wants monster. Lures to the front. Hallelujah. Wow, look at the time. Praise the Lord. I haven't even got on to the second passage. It's the trouble with no notes. You don't know how long it's going to take, do you? The second passage was, you can quickly turn there, Luke 4, because what we just see, and we won't dwell on it very long, like I was going to, but it's the passage about Jesus healing Simon's mother-in-law. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever. That word high, by the way, means of great magnitude. This wasn't no cold. She was ill. And they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. She got up immediately and began to wait on them. Now, a lot of people will read that, and that's the bit that they remember. And that's good, because it's there for our teaching. Yeah, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. That was really special. People healed the blind man. That was really awesome. People healed that group with leprosy. Wasn't that brilliant? But it really is. That's just a very small part of the story. Because Jesus says, I will bring healing. I will bring health. I will bring whatever the other word was. Health again. The three words of healing. When the sun was setting, this is after they've had the meal. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. That various kinds of diseases, that phrase, in one translation I was reading, it says diverse diseases. It's the word we don't use very much anymore. Diverse, it's from the word, or linked to the word diverse. In other words, there was a multitude of sicknesses that was brought to him. Because some people say, oh, it was just minor complaints. Well, just minor miracles then. But no, actually, that's not what the passage is saying. It's saying they came with all kinds of sicknesses and diseases, and Jesus healed all of them. Church, we've got to break out of our confinement. Yes. And we must not accept only some people getting healed. We're going to push on until we see every person that comes. Don't tell me that every person here in this passage have got their lives entirely right with the Lord so the healing could happen, because sometimes that's used as an excuse. Well, their lives aren't right. There's something wrong. Well, something was right here, because every single person got healed. And not every single person followed Jesus afterwards either. He just healed out of compassion. And we need that kind of compassion, where we will not let go. I mean, we need to see everybody in the church healed. But then everybody that comes. We need to see that people see Jesus as their physician, as it was talking back in the other passage. You know, there's a new health center opening in Scarborough, isn't there? But I want the health center of Scarborough to be the Summit building. You know, Kingdom Faith Yorkshire's building. I want that to be the health centre. That to be the place that people come, because I want to meet the needs of people in this town so that they can discover their real need, which is Jesus Christ. And Jesus did exactly the same thing. He entertained people with stories. They wanted entertainment, so he entertained them with great stories with real meaning so that they would discover their real need. He healed them of all their diseases. They perceived that they needed healing. They did need healing, but their greater need was to come to know Jesus. And as a church, we need to be walking in these miracles so that we can meet the needs of people. But that's also why we do things like street angels. Because our town needed help at night. They actually came to the church and said, can you help? So we answered the call. Praise God, we were able to answer the call, and we're meeting a need. And because we're meeting a need, slowly but surely, a lot of the suspicion that there can be, a lot of the misunderstanding that there can be, is being taken away so that people will discover their real need. And we've got to present Jesus to people. We can't live in our exclusive little thing saying people are not interested. They are interested. They're just not interested in church. They're just not interested in what they think Christianity is, but they will be interested in Jesus. They'll want to know who Jesus is. Amen? Street angels is one of those things. Youth angels. We want to get youth angels up and running now. Okay? The council and the police are excited that the church wants to do a new initiative. How cool, how awesome is that? That the council is saying, this is going to be good. I sent a document that, about our new building to the director of Scarborough Borough Council the other week. And it outlines why we want a new building and why we think it's good for this town. And it talks about getting people saved, don't worry. All right? And I asked for her comments. I asked for her view on what she thought about us having a church, a new building, if you like, in the town. And she gave me this great reply saying, this is awesome. We want to see this in our town. This is really good. That's a summary of what she wrote back in reply. You know, isn't that good? But a lot of that has come because we started to meet the needs of the town. We're not just a holy group with a thermometer outside. We're not just thinking about getting a blessing from the Lord, getting free in tongues, getting. We want to be giving. Amen. Actually, when we're giving, we're going to be getting more than we've ever got in our lives, you know, because there's a reward. But that's another sermon for another day. He healed every one of them. We've got to reach these people. We need, by the way, if you're listening, hopefully you're listening, those listening even on the internet, we need more volunteers for street angels, and we need volunteers now for youth angels. Give your names to me or give them to Shona, because Brian's at work today. Oh, he's sleeping now. He's been at work. let us have your names, and the training will be starting in September. And we're going to combine the street angels and youth angels training together, but there'll be some specialist training for the group. So the youth angels will do some special stuff, and the street angels will also do some other different stuff. Youth angels, the vision of youth angels is to take what's been happening with street angels and develop it further amongst the younger generation. We want to get out there and get to know young people. But one of the perceived needs in our town, if you like, is that young people, and it's not just a perceived need, it's an actual need, is that many young people are getting into alcohol really early and becoming alcoholics, and they're drinking on the streets. So we want a team of people that go out there and meet the young people. And then we want this work to grow so that we're providing alternative activities. Sometimes kids drink because they've come from broken homes. Sometimes they just drink because their friends do. And there's nothing else to do. You know? Well, let's give them something else to do. You know, this will all be, the youth angels will also be closely linked in with our new building and how we use that. But, you know, if we can do something in addition that the town sees, well, that church means business. That church really does want to help us. Maybe that stuff about Jesus is worth listening to. That's what I want to do. I want to see people's ears open. Not just the youth, but the town. The whole town needs Jesus. The whole town needs Jesus. You know, the 10-year-olds, the 20-year-olds, the 30-year-olds, the 40-year-olds, the 50-year-olds, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. I don't care how old they are. If they don't know Jesus, they need him. All right, they need him big. They need him good. They need him now. So I want to do anything that will help people to listen. Hallelujah. Youth angels and street angels. We need more street angels, because some people have sort of moved away from the teams that have been part of the teams. But also for youth angels, obviously that's a brand new thing. What do you have to do to be a youth angel? You have to be able to talk. That's it. That'll do. If you can talk, you can go and talk to young people, start relating to them and getting to know them. And we're going to work in conjunction with the police, and we're going to work in conjunction with the council, so that if we find issues going on in young people's lives or things are getting reported to us, we can get support in for them as well. Because we can't meet all of that as a church. You know, if we come across a child that's in an abusive home, we can't do a lot as a church, but we do know people that can. You know, and that we'll work with them. Because if we can get that child out of a horrendous situation, maybe they'll be free to hear the gospel. You know, when you're in an abusive situation, you're often not ready to hear about a loving father. So let's work to get that restored, shall we? Hallelujah. And we are in a community. They're not all Christians in Scarborough yet, but we're still in a community. And we have to work with our community. We're citizens of this community and this kingdom that we live in. And we need to be the best citizens that this kingdom has got. Yes. David Cameron is talking about his big society, isn't he? You know, bands of volunteers getting stuff up and running. This is an enormous opportunity for the church in our nation at this time to become seriously responsible for important things. But it needs people who say, yeah, I can give, I can do more. I don't need to watch television on that night. I don't need another day to myself. Amen? Amen. Let's finish with Jesus. Good place to start and finish, isn't it? I've got loads more here, but never mind. When the sun was setting, The people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses. And let's listen to this bit. And laying his hands on each one, he healed them. I will not be confined. I will not accept a church normal that only some people get healed. I want what my God laid out. I want what my Jesus was demonstrating. He was demonstrating this scripture. I will bring health and healing. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. Amen? Amen. We're going to finish, but we'll have the worship team up just briefly for a while, because if there's anybody here this morning who's heard that scripture, he laid hands on them and healed them, every one, I want you to know that Jesus is here today. Because he's in the people. So if you need restoration, or composure, or healing, then why not come forward and we'll lay hands on you? And because Jesus is in us, it says Jesus laying hands on you. And it says in my Bible, and he healed them, every one. And I don't believe he wants exceptions. Sometimes people say, well, there's stuff I've got to sort in my life. I'll get it sorted then. But there were people on that day that needed stuff sorted in their lives, and he still healed them. He's a God of amazing mercy. We never deserve healing, so it doesn't matter what state your life is in, you still don't deserve healing. It doesn't matter whether you're super holy and had a 3-hour quiet time this morning, or whether you struggled in with the breakfast still around your mouth. The first one will have a more intimate relationship with the Lord, but the second one has still access to everything that is of God. Hallelujah. Shall we stand? We will not be confined. Amen. The only person that attempts to confine us is the devil, but he can't do it. He can only lie to us and convince us and deceive us. But we're not confined. Christ died to give us freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Amen. Freedom from living under the bondage of sin. Freedom from sickness. Freedom from poverty. Freedom from abuse. The list goes on and on and on. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. As the band start playing in a minute, if you want us to pray with you this morning, then coming down and line you up at the front here. Chris will help you get lined up. And if there are members of the pastoral team who are free from other responsibilities, they can come down and help pray or help catch, depending on what's needed. Hallelujah. So just come down as these guys pray. If you've had a good morning, be blessed. And as we just worship the Lord and pray for people now, in a few minutes we'll also start serving coffee. So don't feel you've got to stay trapped in here. If you've got a car on a ticket, you can make your exit. But be blessed. But don't forget, we're not here next week. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.